Doug taught me how to play the trumpet. I knew a little bit, but and I never reached the height that he was hoping I would reach. But we did do some, what, duets or trios or whatever with some other people, too. So, yeah, Doug was 18, I was 19, so we were pretty close in age together. But Linda and I are here because God has called us here for this transition time through our district superintendent, Nate Howard. And Linda and I are trusting that as we team with you over these months, we'll see God at work in a variety of ways. Linda and I, by the way, have been married 50 years. We just celebrated 50 years a couple of weeks ago. For a whole year, we planned this tremendous 50 anniversary trip. We were going to go up to New England, and we were going up into Canada and Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. I had all the reservations made, and about 4 days before we were planning to leave, my body decided that it wanted to have an appendectomy. And the surgeon said, you will go nowhere for 4 to 6 weeks. So that was the end of that. So we spent the day, well, part of the day, at Longhorn Steakhouse, which was okay. One of the things that has been asked of me when I have begun working as an interim pastor is, what do you want to be called? What title or how should we address you? Well, frankly, through the years, I have been called everything from Dr. Corbin to you dirty, rotten scoundrel. I don't care for either of those. So Randy is fine or Pastor Randy is fine. I respond to either one, not to the you dirty, rotten scoundrel. So, but this is an exciting time in the life of the church, even though we're somewhat grieving over the loss of Pastor Tim and Sherry. In fact, I was district superintendent when I had the privilege of placing him here as a pastor, so that was a while ago. But I have discovered that as I've had the privilege to work with churches through an interim transitional time, that God can do some very wonderful things. God can reveal himself in special ways, and God can give to us encouragement and blessing. This is a new model for me to follow. The district superintendent, Nate Howard, asked if we would work through a model where we would have a pastor come in and preach each Sunday, and I'll be doing it once a month. But Ron, I always have a little trouble with his name, so don't tell him that. Belsterling is going to be the normal pastor through the month, except for one Sunday. And then I will be giving 2 or 3 days a week to work with the leadership of the church to develop direction. We will be doing in October and part of November, at least that's the tentative plan, what we call congregational interviews. So we will be inviting you to sign up for certain groups so that we can engage in these interviews, which will help us give a view of the church. The interim time provides a wonderful opportunity for us to look within ourselves and do a review of ourselves as we prepare to understand ourselves so we can present ourselves well to a prospective pastor down the road. So we'll keep you informed of all that. And we're looking forward to God's direction and the way God will lead us. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Is it okay, Pastor Doug, if I stand here? I won't get shocked or electrocuted if I go to a certain place, okay? Because sometimes they squeal like crazy. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Here we see a bit of a parallel with what the people of Israel experienced in a grand transitional time with what a church can experience somewhat in its transitional time. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This was a critical time in the life of Israel, as they had just lost their leader, their longtime leader, Moses. What were they to do? They knew they still had a mission ahead of them. God called them. But how were they to do it when Moses, their esteemed leader, had departed? On occasion, half of my ministry career, by the way, I served as a district superintendent, first in this district and then in what we call the Mid-Atlantic District. So I interacted with many churches through the years who were going through a transition. They lost their pastor. And on occasion, not often, but once in a while, I would come across individuals who felt that the end was here. Our pastor is gone. I remember one couple who met me when I went to their church after the pastor had left, and they came to me and they said, "Well, we're sorry about Pastor so-and-so leaving. I guess we'll just be closing up the church, selling the building." I said, "Oh my, no. Yes, your pastor left, but let me tell you something. God did not. He is still here. He's still in charge. He's still as powerful and effective as he was before." Then I remember a heartbreaking issue in one of our churches in Southern Virginia that I was dealing with. Met with them after the pastor announced his departure. They had a board of 12 elders. And as we met to begin talking about the transition, 9 of the elders said, Sir, the pastor's leaving. We're leaving too. You see, we were here just for the pastor. But now he's gone. We're going to go too." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were here for Jesus." Fortunately, not all of them left, but some did. They had the idea that the pastor's gone, so why should I stay around? Well, fortunately, here in our story, the people of Israel realized that God was still in charge and he had a plan. Our pastor has left, but God has not. So he is in charge and he has a plan for us. And he is calling us to fulfill the mission that he has ahead. So I want to point out some specific aspects of what God, through Joshua, was directing the people to realize, think about, and follow. First of all, he wants them to reaffirm the promises that he has been to his people in the past. So we go to verses 1 through 5. Let me start with verse 3. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you for all the days of your life. For as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It is God's will, my brothers and sisters, that God's mission includes for the Carlisle Alliance Church not to shrivel up, not even to stay the same. But his will is to catch a fresh vision of his purpose and plan and to absolutely believe that he has enlargement for us as he had for the people of Israel. That enlargement will be spiritual depth for us and spiritual width as we relate better and stronger to each other, and for the reaching of the mission that he has for us, impacting the lives of people who have yet to find Jesus as personal Savior. He has a promise of enlargement for us. You know, I've served as an interim pastor in 4 churches. We retired 5 years ago, and 4 churches we've had the privilege of serving. And 3 of those 4, during the interim time, saw growth. Why, each of them thought, well, if we can just maintain and not lose people. But they began to see that God could work even in the interim, and during the interim, 3 of those 4 churches saw enlargement. New folks came in to become part of the church. So God can do that for us as well. As we continue to be faithful, as we continue to reach out and believe him for what he has in store for us. So there is the promise of enlargement. There's the promise also, the text indicates, of victory. We will face challenges, not only during the transitional time, but beyond when the pastor comes. It's part of life and ministry. It's not anything new to Carlisle Alliance Church. Every church experiences them. But with God, we can see great things. We believe that he can work difficulties. I know you have seen that in the past, and we must believe strongly that he is the victor and he is the one that will provide for us. I believe we continue to have a God of miracles, a God who can bring people into the kingdom who we thought would never become part of the kingdom, a God who can work in special ways to restore in gracious, mighty ways in the life of people, in the life of the church. Victories can be his. I remember one of our churches in Delaware that had gone through some very serious difficulties that eventuated in long-term interim, and I wondered what was ever going to happen. They got down to about 35 discouraged people. But God began to work through their prayer meeting, And I remember the Sunday I was there, probably a year or two later, after a new pastor came, and the sanctuary was packed with people praising God and celebrating his riches. And I'm not one to cry easily, but I cried that day with joy and thanksgiving. God is a God who restores. God is a God who brings about wonderful stories of conquest over victories. And God is a God who never leaves us. He is with Carlisle Alliance Church. My favorite chapter in the Bible is Romans 8. My favorite verse in Romans 8 is verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, graciously gives us all things. He graciously gives us all things. We should not doubt. Verse 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? God's for Carlisle Alliance Church. He is for us. If he is for us, who can be against us? Again, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give Carlisle Alliance Church all things? He goes on, verse 33. Who can bring any charge against God's elect? The answer, no one can. Who is he that condemns? Answer, no one can. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised from the dead, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, doing what? Interceding for us. Our church, you and me, right now, he's interceding for us. He is on our side. Yes, I am convinced, as you are, that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor things present, nor things future, nor power, nor anything in creation can separate us from the love of God. So we go boldly, knowing that we have his presence. So we reaffirm those promises as we move forward. Then this text tells us, so step out in strength and courage. Step out in strength and courage. In fact, it's repeated here, but it says in verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. I had a marvelous opportunity on Tuesday evening to interact with the governing board and with the elders. Carlisle Alliance Church is blessed to have the leadership that we do. They love Jesus, they love you, and their eyes are on him in the future. Please pray for them. Please pray for us as I team with them, that we will be strong and courageous, that we will first of all be God seekers. All of us be God seekers. And one of the things that we're going to be doing, I've asked the elders to do, and we'll be working on it, is developing a prayer strategy, because during the interim time, above all time, we need to be praying. We need to have our eyes fixed on Jesus and listening to him. The scripture tells us that if our eyes are single on him, then our whole bodies will be light and we will be able to make good decisions. But if they're not on him, we get them on other things, then our bodies are dark and then we make confused decisions. So let's pray for each other. Let's pray for our leaders. Pray for us that we will have our hearts and minds fixed on Jesus, so that we can hear Because we are imperfect. So let's pray that we see that kind of working in our lives. We're also called to keep rooted in God's word. The text says, verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. This book must be our root and our anchor during this time, as well as all times, that we could hear from God's word. Sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes it's easy for us in our church ministries to go to a meeting of any kind, board meeting, Sunday school meeting, whatever, and we're there without our Bibles. And, well, we just don't have them. Or if we're there with our Bibles, we fail to take time to really wait upon the Lord and see what he might have to say in our situation. Would you pray for us as leaders that we will be rooted in God's word, that he would lead us by his Spirit to teaching and direction and principles based upon God's word, that we never get away from God's word during this interim time as well as beyond, that we will be people of God's word. Then finally, he says in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. And when I studied this, I said, wait a minute, do you stutter? You already said that. Then I realized that God knows we are fickle people. We need to keep it in mind, because we get these resolves, but then we get cold feet and we start going back in our thinking, and we need a reminder. So be strong and courageous, and be reminded that God is ever with us, and that he is shepherding us, he is interceding for us, he loves us as a church. Indeed, I believe God has great plans in store for us. Even during this interim time, I don't know what they are, and I don't know how they'll be revealed, but I have seen God do some wonderful works in churches during their waiting time. So, let's believe for that. And let's believe for the days ahead. Maybe you heard the story about the family that decided to go into Washington, D.C. and spend the day touring. They made their way there. They really didn't know where they were going exactly. They just wanted to see some of the monuments and buildings. And they were getting nowhere fast, confused. And finally, the mother said, you know, I have an idea. Why don't we hail a taxi? Because I'm sure if anybody in this city knows anything about the city, a taxi driver would. So let's flag him down and ask him to take us to the various places of interest that we would like to see. So they did just that. Taxi cab driver was happy to help them, and he would point out different monuments and buildings. And they came to one, and the wife said, hold on, just a minute. Let's all get out. So they got out. And she said to the taxi cab driver, what's that mean on the building? It says, the past is prologue. Explain, what does that mean? Well, the cabbie scratched his head and said, well, I think it means you ain't seen nothing yet. Well, I want to tell you, that we, part of this ministry, we haven't seen anything yet because God has a great story he wants to write for us. So let's believe him for that. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we humble ourselves before you. We are weak people, but we are people who have come to you, who are seeking you for your provision and seeking you for guidance and direction. So, Lord, we freshly put ourselves before you. Our eyes are upon you. We want to be strong people, courageous people, believing people, and moving forward in that way. In Christ's name, amen.